As we come to God's Word today, we're picking up our series entitled, Be Filled. Leading up to Mother's Day, we talked about being still. But in God's plan, on this spiritual journey that we're all on, stillness leads to fullness. And today we want to be talking about the fullness of God's power in our lives. He has power for you and me through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you're a science fiction outer space fan, but I kind of am. And out in the popular media, probably the two most well-known genres of outer space science fiction are Star Trek and Star Wars. Star Trek has, as with Star Wars, has a line that sort of is legendary with it. It's something that Mr. Spock, a primary character in Star Trek, would give. He would once in a while put his fingers up like this and say, live long and prosper. Live long and prosper. It's sort of a secular way of saying good luck, or I hope fate works in your favor. Star Wars, on the other hand, takes things past just good luck and talks about a force in the universe. It's supposedly the life force that permeates all of the universe. It's a very pantheistic-ish idea. We in Christianity would view creation as separate from the Creator, just like we would not say the painting is the painter. The painting reflects the genius of the painter, but they're not one and the same. But in Star Wars, the Force is the life essence. It is creation itself. And you can channel the Force. And the Force has a dark side and a good side to it. And the Sith, who are kind of like demon characters, they channel the dark side of the Force. And the Jedi, who are generally the good guys, they channel the good part of the Force. But the Force is just an it. It's the Force. My youngest daughter, Angeline, and I, we kind of picked up on those two things, live long and prosper from Star Trek, and may the Force be with you from Star Wars. And we designed our own kind of good night parting. We would I would go like this, and I would say to Angeline, sleep long and prosper, and may the Lord be with you. So with our hands, sleep long and prosper, and may the Lord be with you. And my older daughter and my wife just sort of rolled their eyes at us. But that's the way we kind of blended those two things. But what we're talking about when we come to the Holy Spirit is much more than fate. It's not like, well, I hope everything works out for you, live long and prosper. And it's also more than just an impersonal force, because the Holy Spirit's not a force, it's not an it. The Holy Spirit has power like the Force had power in Star Wars, but the Holy Spirit is a person. The Godhead, we call it, the Trinity. God, one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's hard to understand how all that works together, but God the Father is the one who's the initiator of everything, and he's over all, and he loved the world so much he sent his Son to die on a cross. That's what Pastor Carter and I just celebrated with you as we took the bread and the cup. And then after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. 40 days after he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which he then poured out in power on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost Sunday is next Sunday, and we're going to be celebrating that moment when now the gift of God's power was poured out upon us. And Jesus said, this is what's going to take. He said, I'm going to build my church. He didn't say, you're going to build my church. He said, I'm going to build my church. But yet he said, I'm going to give you not just a force, but I'm going to give you that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I like to think of God's Spirit as his not-so-secret agent in the earth. That this, after Jesus ascended to heaven and until he comes back, he gave us the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit so that we could continue Jesus' mission in the earth. And so that's why Jesus is going to tell his disciples before he ascends into heaven, in his resurrection appearances to them, he's going to tell them to wait in the city of Jerusalem until the power of God comes on them, and then to go out and to fulfill his mission in the power. This is more than may the force be with you. This was in the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit I'm going to give you. You're going to go out and you're going to be my witnesses. And so one of those times when Jesus appeared after his resurrection to the disciples is in Luke 24. And in Luke 24 in verse 46, Jesus told them, this is what was written. In other words, this is what the Old Testament had already predicted about me. This is what is written. The Messiah, that's Jesus, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And in light of that, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So to all nations, there is going to be this proclaiming of what Jesus did on the cross when he died for us so that we could have this relationship with him. The Messiah will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So God immediately recruits us as Jesus' followers into a cause that's bigger than any one of us. And he says, therefore, in the very next verse, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. And here he's talking about that third person in the Trinity, not the force, but the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit himself. I'm going to send you what the Father promised, but stay in the city. That's the city of Jerusalem. Stay in the city until what happens? Until you have been clothed with power from on high, literally power from heaven, until you're clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be my witnesses to the world, but don't try this. Have you ever seen those commercials that say, do not try this at home? Jesus is saying, I'm going to make you my witnesses to the world, but don't you dare try to be that until I send you the promise of the Father, the Heavenly Father, and that is that you will be clothed with power from on high. I like that imagery of being clothed. It's like my jacket here. I just put that jacket on. And sometimes when I'm praying for the power of the Holy Spirit, I just say, oh God, would you just clothe me with the power of your Holy Spirit? I just need something that is power beyond anything I can produce or bring to the table here. If you're going to make my life significant, if you're going to employ me in a cause bigger than myself to partner with you in building your church. And if I'm not the one who can build your church, but you're the one who's doing it and you're giving me power, Lord, I just pray that you will clothe me to be your partner in this great and amazing cause. This became very personal for me afresh 3.5 years ago when I was General Secretary of the Assemblies of God. And I was working a very full-time job, and Pastor Jeff here at Central Assembly had resigned after a number of years of service here at Central, and the leadership of Central Assembly asked me to come back and to be what we thought was just the interim pastor for a while. It turned out a little more permanent than that, but they asked me to be the interim pastor, and I knew I couldn't really let go of any of my responsibilities at the Assemblies of God headquarters, and I was just agonized. I just agonized over whether I should do this. And one of my concerns was, Lord, I already have a very full-time job. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I could add pastoring a church onto a full-time job right now. And I'll never forget. It was so real to me. I'll never forget the moment when God said, Jim, if you will obey me, and if you will just make room for my Holy Spirit, just give my Spirit room, I'm going to carry this for you. 3.5 years later, even though I don't have that full-time job anymore, I'm still living out of that. Like Jesus is the one who's building his church. And he said, I'm giving you my Spirit. The pressure's not on you to build my church. I'll build my church. But I'm using you to become my witness in the world. And if you'll just give my Spirit room, if you'll just allow yourself to be clothed. I mean, there's often a before and an after. You're not clothed with the power of God's Spirit. But he says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until that moment, which would be the day of Pentecost, when you are just clothed with power from on high. And this very personal Holy Spirit, he comes and he begins to work and to live in our lives to give us power. We talked last week about how on the night of his resurrection, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Breath and life always go together. But now Jesus, towards the end of his appearances in his resurrected form to the disciples, several weeks later, he talks about more than just coming to Christ and having new life. Now he talks about being clothed with power so we may do the work of God. And Luke, who writes, who comes and writes not only the Gospel of Luke in those verses we just read of Jesus saying, stay in Jerusalem till you're clothed with power. He kind of revisits that at the beginning of the book of Acts, which he also writes. And he picks up just on the very last few days of Jesus' resurrection appearances to his disciples. And Jesus says again to them the same thing in Acts 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John, he baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To be baptized means just to be immersed in something. He says, there's something going to clothe you in the power of my... You're just going to be immersed in. You're just going to be clothed with the power of my Holy Spirit. He called it being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so he said in Luke chapter 24, stay in the city till you're clothed with power on high. He said in Acts 1, he said, wait for the gift that my Father has promised you. This is waiting for the Holy Spirit's power. Well, how do we stay and how do we wait for God's spiritual power today? Because he says the same thing to every one of us. Don't go out there trying to serve me without the power of my Holy Spirit. Wait until you're clothed with power from on high. Well, first of all, waiting, I think, involves the first core value of our church family, and that's to be hungry for God. It's to be hungry for him. What waiting is that attitude of our hearts and just say, God, I can't depend on myself. I just desperately need you. And it means we just don't give up until he's clothed us with his power. We become seekers of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he's taken away our sin. Yes, he lives in us. But we're saying, but God, now I need to be clothed. I need to be baptized, immersed in your power so that you can move forward. There's a great story of how that happened in a very famous woman of God's life at the beginning of the 20th century. Her name was Amy Semple McPherson. She went on to found the Foursquare Church, Angelus Temple, where today the Barnett family directs incredible ministries there in downtown Los Angeles, out of Angelus Temple and the Dream Center nearby. I mean, even the legacy of that ministry is continuing on, let alone the Foursquare Church that has gone global in its outreach as a great Pentecostal movement. It was all started by a lady, Amy Semple McPherson. And when she was 17 years old, she became desperately hungry to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. She had been powerfully converted to Christ. She had been an atheist when she was 16 years old. She turned 17. She came to Christ in a very powerful way. But then she became desperate for the power of the Holy Spirit. And that hunger for God just... I remember reading about it years ago, and I pull it out again this past week in a biography by Daniel Epstein, who himself is rather cynical about all this sort of thing. And he writes how that Amy got trapped in a snowstorm. And she had visited someone's house just nearby her school. She had to take the train to her school, and this was in a northern middle of the winter. And she'd just been saying to this lady, she said, "I just wish I didn't have to go to school. I'm so hungry for God to come." And this lady prayed that God would just sort of work this out, because she did sort of have to go to school. The problem was, the next day there was a massive snowstorm came in that lasted the entire week. And so she couldn't get away until Saturday. And Epstein says, from Monday until Friday, as the snow fell, Amy prayed to be emptied of self and filled with the power that God had promised from heaven. And this often is the journey of hunger. Sometimes God just doesn't meet our hunger immediately. He just wants us to press in, just to wait, and just to keep seeking. It's just saying, "God, I know you've done a lot of things in my life already, but there's just more that you could do in my life." And she just kept praying. And sometimes that waiting time does empty the life of self until we're just... we don't have anything else to depend on, and other little idols and other things that so distract us just go by the side. Amy spent from Monday through Friday locked into her friend's house in a snowstorm, and she sought the power of God. She prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Epstein writes, on Friday, because nothing had happened all week, but on Friday, Amy waited upon the Lord until midnight. Then Saturday morning, she rose before anyone else in the house was awake, and she crept downstairs to the parlor, and she took up her vigil, kneeling by the large chair in the corner. And it was there on that Saturday morning that she heard God's voice, "Now, child, cease your striving and your begging. Just begin to praise me. And in simple childlike faith, receive ye the Holy Spirit." This is what she heard God speak to her. And so she just stopped her striving. And there comes that point where you just say, "Thank you, Lord. You've seen the hunger of my heart. Thank you, Lord. Just come now and fill me with the Holy Spirit." And this is what happened in a powerful, dramatic way, as the power of God just literally clothed her until she was no longer the same. She went on to have a healing ministry that, unlike anybody, probably in the last couple of hundred years, she saw thousands of people come to Christ, thousands, tens of thousands of people baptized in the Holy Spirit at a time where most people didn't even think a woman should preach, let alone have a ministry like that. But I want to tell you, on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and said, "I'm going to pour my Spirit on your sons and your daughters, and men and women will prophesy." This is God's plan for us. But we can't do this alone. We need to wait for the power of the Spirit. And so it starts with just being hungry, and then waiting and staying until we're filled with the Spirit. Also means that we're making ourselves available. We're not just passive. We're not just going to step into a vacuum here. We're going to make ourselves available. That's actually our last core value as a church, that we want to work with Christ to leave a God-sized footprint in our world. And it's a contradiction of terms to say, "God, I'm hungry for the power of your Holy Spirit, but I'm not particularly interested in you inconveniencing me in any way, or God forbid you should use me. I mean, I just want you to bless me." But I want to tell you, the power of God won't come to you if you don't want to say, "Lord, I'm available." I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 14 years old. I remember saying to the Lord, as I sought for the power of His Spirit, said, "Lord, I just want you to use me." And I love science, and I did go and get all my education to be a rocket scientist. But I remember even more than that, I didn't care what career I had. I didn't care where life was going to take me or education was going to take me. I just remember as a young man just being hungry, not only for God's Spirit, but I just wanted to be available more than anything else to God's will. "God, if you could use me in the world." I was short, shy. I liked Star Trek too much. I didn't think God could use anything in me. I was terrified of public speaking. But I want to tell you, there's something powerful when hunger for God and availability to God come into your life. I mean, you can't write the script from there on, but God can come in and He can take a hungry heart and an available life, And who knows what he can do? He can use medical doctors and school teachers to change the world. He can raise up preachers out of people who are terrified of public speaking. He can give you supernatural gifts of the Spirit. He can prompt you how to pray for people. He can give you a nudge when you're talking to somebody in the store. He can use you when someone says, I just need healing. And you just lay your hand on their shoulder after social distancing is done. And you lay your hand on, you pray in faith. I don't care who you are. If you're clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, who knows what God could do through your life? Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses in the world. But don't try this on your own. But open yourself up. Wait. For us, that's just being hungry for His Spirit and being available for God, what God wants us to do. And it's interesting that this business of being available can be a tough issue for us right now. After Jesus said this to them in Acts chapter 1, stay, wait for the gift promise of the Heavenly Father. Immediately in verse 4, the next verse, they say, Lord, when are you coming again? When are you going to build your kingdom on earth? Because they were still thinking Jesus was going to topple the Romans and build an earthly kingdom. And they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And in verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, these days with the coronavirus, I mean, there are all kinds. There's at least 7 major conspiracy theories out there. You can read them all day long on the internet. There's all kinds of theories. People say, Pastor, is this a sign of the second coming of Jesus? And all I know is Jesus said these kind of things will happen more actively and globally the closer we get to the second coming. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem because you're going to be my witnesses. And they're asking, but when? When are you going to come back? When are you going to set up your kingdom? What does all this that's happening around us mean? And I want to tell you, we can get so distracted these days with signs of the end times and virus conspiracy theories and all of this. Jesus said, that's not the right question to be asking right now. The right question, he says, it's up to God, the times and the seasons. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. I mean, God's using all of this, I suppose, I hope, to put our attention on him again. But Jesus said, it's not all these other questions that are important. What's important is that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you're going to be my witnesses. And first of all, in Jerusalem, where you live. And then in the neighboring province of Judea and Samaria, beyond that. And then to the ends of the earth. And right now, we're living at a time where we're seeing God clothe people with the power of His Spirit and literally take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the hardest parts of the world. I'm not so interested whether this virus is some kind of conspiracy theory. God's got all that in His hands. I am interested in men and women being clothed with the power of God's Spirit and going to places where the gospel is not. 2 or 3 decades ago in the Christian church, the Muslim world was considered unreachable with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Muslims don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God and therefore are outside the salvation of Christ. But people began to pray. Believers began to pray. I still know people who fast Friday noon every week and pray for the Muslim world. And it's interesting that over these, I have friends who work in the Muslim world. Some of them are in very dangerous places. And they'll tell me stories of how Muslims are being visited in dreams and visions, and Jesus will be revealing himself to them. But it always is in partnership with directing them to somebody who can then share with them what Jesus did when he came. But this is God's Spirit, and this is God's grace. I have a friend right now who's doing church online in the midst of this pandemic. I'm not even going to mention his name or where he is because it could be very dangerous for him. But you wouldn't believe what he's doing in reaching and proclaiming the gospel in places and ways that we never thought were possible. God's biggest questions are not, is this a conspiracy we're in the middle of? And what does all this mean? God's biggest question is, how are people being powered by the Spirit of the Lord to go and to be His witnesses in the hardest places? I see God calling some of the best and brightest in the Church of Jesus Christ today to go and to be a part of it. During this pandemic, my wife and I, we've increased our giving. We've increased our giving to the general fund of the church. We've increased our giving to 2020, and we've increased our giving to missions because we just believe we need people all over the world. This is why God sent the power of His Spirit. This is why we pray for missionaries, and this is why we send people out from our congregation, because we still believe that God clothes people with power. My friend Mark Doreen was here last year preaching about a prayer movement for the Buddhist world. We're believing breakthroughs in the Buddhist world, like in the Muslim world, because Jesus came to die for every single human being. We're just believing God for this. We're believing God to break through in people's lives, young and old. We're believing God for a spiritual awakening in America. We just still believe that God is clothing people with power from on high. I tell you, God's done a lot of things in my life, but I'm still hungry, and I'm still available to Him. And in that posture of waiting, I just believe God can put His Spirit on my life in greater ways. I just believe God can put His Spirit on your life in greater ways than you ever have before. This is what Jesus is doing. He's building His church, and He's clothing us with power to be His witnesses. And may God just, as we make an altar out of this moment where we are today, may God just come by His Spirit right now. And may He just again step in to our living rooms, our bedrooms, our office spaces, if you're watching this later during the week. Wherever you are, let's make an altar right here. Lord, we just thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for how personal and real the Holy Spirit is. We thank You that He's You, Your presence right with us and in us. And we thank You for the mission You've called us to be a part of. And we just pray, Lord, if our hearts aren't hungry for You, will You forgive us of all the idols and distractions, so much to distract us? But my God, we just pray that our hearts will be hungry again for You. And oh God, just like Amy, although it happens in all of our lives differently, like Amy's story that we recounted today, Lord, whatever that looks like for us, let us not give up until we're clothed with power from on high. And we pray that moment will come when You would just baptize us in Your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, in that there'll be an availability to You, Lord, to say, God, I just want You to use me to reach the world for You. I just want You to speak through me, to live through me, to work through me. Lord, we can't do this without Your power, but I pray we'll be available and hungry for You. Lord Jesus, we just, where we are right now, we just receive the power of the Holy Spirit. May Your grace come. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, just receive His Spirit right now. Just in Jesus' name, be filled with His Spirit today. Just be filled with His Spirit. Walk in strength, not your own. Don't rely on yourself anymore. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may Jesus be glorified in the earth as a result. Yes, Lord, we thank You for this. And we praise You for it. And may as we go today, may indeed the grace of the Lord Jesus who died for us and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be with us all as we go in Jesus' name. Amen.